The meeting began with a morning session, taking comments from individuals.
Hope everybody enjoyed lunch. We are a few minutes after one. Not sure I'd see, we're missing a couple of council members. Here comes Bradley. Okay, I guess we're ready to go. Again, just wanted to say thank you again for everyone offering their statements in the morning session. Starting out, there were a few people that had signed up to speak, and not sure if they were wanting to hold over into the afternoon. One was Jackie Martins. Don't want to miss if you wanted an opportunity to speak, and I'll put you on the spot anyway. But and then also Warren had signed up to say a few things. So I want to make sure that you guys have an opportunity if you guys want to make some statements. You don't have to, obviously. You had signed up to make some comments, so just didn't want to overlook you. Sure. We're back on.
Good afternoon. My name is Warren Tamaris, and like the people before me earlier in the morning, I want to congratulate you new council members and new chairman on office. And you know, we're looking forward to some of the things that you are planning to do. This forum, the way this was arranged, seems to be a very dynamic format. And I see a lot of people here have heard bits of conversation that they're pretty pleased with how this is arranged. It just seems that there hasn't really been enough forums where tribal members could come and express themselves about whatever issue concerns them. Some people took the opportunity to speak about two or three different issues that concern them, and some folks devoted their entire 5 minutes to one item. So I want to thank you for this, and I hope that we can continue to see this in the future. I did have one suggestion for our tribal members and interested community members who are living off reservation, sometimes in other states. I would actually suggest that maybe you arrange to have this broadcast on Skype or one of the other internet forums where they could actually listen to it in real time, make comments, and send them to some of the moderators that you have spread throughout this room. I noticed during the debates for the council seats and for the chairman's seat that people were able to call in and email in questions that were asked of the candidates. Which I know the four of you participated in this last round. What it does is it gives people an opportunity to express their concerns in the same way that the people who attended today are able to do. Being able to reach out to a larger community and also involve our community members and tribal members who live off reservation, they have valid ideas and valid concerns, and they may actually be seeing some better processes and some solutions to some of the problems we're grappling with from the communities they live in, things that we wouldn't hear necessarily be exposed to. So it takes advantage of our greater community and also is more collective. Those folks could respond to the things that are brought up today and offer their input. I noticed on the way over here this morning when I was coming to the meeting, the downtown folks, which I'll call them that because that's what everybody seems to call them, they were engaged in their own little council meeting this morning, gathered around, sitting in a circle. They were having a lively debate about something, and I certainly would have liked to have been a fly on one of those trees just to listen in. But the things that you talk about today that do affect them and the other folks who use our community, you know, Mike Hostler talked about a walkable community. Those folks are the example. They walk the community every day, and the risks that they put themselves into, the crossing the highway, having sidewalks, lighting, you know, some of these things have improved in recent months. You know, Rod Mendez worked on streetlights on the highway, and that's a wonderful thing. Pedestrians, it puts them at less risk, you know, and having lighted walkways and more clear crossings will benefit our community. Those are the downtown folks, but you also have to think about our children. You know, Rhodes is also working on safe routes to school application. you know, which I believe the council has already approved to move forward. But the support for that has to come grassroots, not just from the council, but from every member of the community. We're all stakeholders in that, and all of our children are impacted by it. It's interesting to note that for 20 years, people walk up and down the highway on the shoulder, and we don't really notice it. But some places we have good sight lines, some places we don't. You know, children riding on bicycles, it's safety. It's really a safety risk. The original environmental justice grant that Mike referenced was for traffic calming because people drive too fast in our community. We have equestrians, we have motorcyclists, we have bicycle riders. These are things that are good in a community because it gets people out of the cars, contributes less to our carbon problem, and it also makes it more social. And that's one of the things that Norma pointed out earlier, is we don't always talk enough and have enough dialogue in our community. These folks all have good ideas, and I think that they're trying to give you their best perspective. I didn't see a lot of real complaining, and I was really glad for that too, because sometimes you are the recipient of severe complaints. But I hope you take everything that people are saying here with a grain of salt and incorporate that into some of the planning efforts you do. And you do need a planning department. A lot of planning needs to be done. Plans on the shelf are good, but implementation is important. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Warren.
I guess, Jackie.
Thank you, Warren. That was so well said. I'd just like to address the downtown issue a little bit, and thinking in terms of them having their own little council meeting this morning means that there is a political group down there. And John was saying earlier, you know, considering the groups that aren't present here, that aren't represented, that maybe, well, I'm thinking those are displaced people for whatever reason that they end up downtown, that if we had a way to empower them and take ownership of downtown, I don't mean ownership in the way it is now, but ownership by actually rebuilding downtown and taking pride in that and seeing it in a different way, that might be a possibility. I don't like to think of it as a SWAT team so much, but it could be something like that. Penalties for panhandling instead of monetary penalties, which they can't pay anyway, but they can give back and take pride in what they do with their hands, you know, building benches, planting things, beautifying the community. And I've often thought, and I'm just sharing this with you because I've shared it on Facebook a lot of times, that if we had kind of like a halfway house that provided like all the what do they call that, roundabout, well, there's a term for it, where you have those multi-agencies, wraparound projects that come and provide all those services, health services, mental health services, rehabilitation services, everything. All those services to them, they actually come to them and they provide those services while they're building these things for downtown, you know, so they can take pride in them. Okay, anyway, I wasn't going to talk about that because I figured somebody already had. The other thing is I have a foster child, and we go take her to the Early Head Start program, and I have noticed that sometimes they're shut down. Sometimes they don't have very much notice when a mandatory training is going to happen. It may be as little as 12, possibly 12 or 24 hours, but not always. And for me, working in the school district, it just is a great imposition. And I'm thinking about those young families out there that have maybe two or three, maybe four children that have to find somewhere for their children to go at a moment's notice almost. So I'm just thinking, looking back at the last time was admin leave is something that affects tribal employees. And I think that we probably lose thousands and thousands of dollars every time we, you know, admin leave for everybody, which is great. It's a wonderful thing for them. But it costs our tribe a lot of money, that we could be using that in other ways to deliver services to our tribal members. So if we could minimize those days or give them plenty, talking about the Head Start, the educational programs, give them plenty of notice so that parents can have adequate time to figure out what they're going to do with their children instead of on the spot and creating a lot of unnecessary stress for these young families. So thank you.
Thanks, Jackie. Yeah, that was just a follow-up on that. That is something that I hear oftentimes too, is when these programs shut down that offer those types of services, it is a burden on the families. And we just need to sit down and work with the education director on that one specifically and see what we can do better. And how can we, if it's earlier notification, and that's something that we need to provide. If it's more than that, then we just need to figure out what that is and provide a solution.
I have talked with the director, and she has talked with several councils about this very issue in the past. Mm-hmm. It's just something that, that happens. I'll give you an example. Sexual harassment training was a mandatory training in the last administration. They were given very little notice. But there's a simple solution to some of these things. Put them on a video loop. And when employees come in, they do that at the school. They say, here's your sexual harassment, sign it. Here's your, they give you a pile of things like that you have to read the material and sign it. That you verifying that you know what it is. They don't sit down with you and hold your hand and take you away from work for a full day to explain it to everybody.
Sure.
Once or, every couple of years. There are easy solutions, and, it would require a little more effort in the human resource department to see that that's done for every employee, but it's possible. It's workable.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and we had, I think it was last week when we had the home burn here, and the smoke impacts of the school, that we had to close it down. So in those cases, it's hard to mitigate those types of events, but we should have a plan in place if there's maybe potentially somewhere else where we can have a facility available. Again, that gets into, do we have the facilities available? We have a bit of a shortage, but at the same time, that's kind of the whole process of planning on how to address all of these things. And I think Norma had talked about it earlier, it's emergency preparedness. And we need to be prepared for all these things. We're too big of a government, we're too big of an organization to not have all of these plans in place already and have the resources available to address whatever is coming at us, at a moment's notice. I mean, we have too many people, too many resources to not be able to adequately address any of the things that we face. Thanks, Jackie. One thing on just, and council can feel free also to participate and address any of the questions or comments, but I would like to address something that Warren had brought up, which is the authorization membership, the absentee folks, if you will. And I'm sure a lot of other council members are the same way, is there's not a lot of participation by off-reservation members. And I don't see a whole heck of a lot of off-reservation members in here today. So, and they're not listening over the radio. They'll listen to the broadcast at a certain point once it's downloaded. But yeah, we do have a lack of infrastructure in trying to make sure that everybody is adequately informed or given the opportunity to participate. I think there's a real question out there about what's happening within the tribe. Everybody votes, or they try to vote, so they can be a part of what's happening. And we do need to address that. If it's building our infrastructure, providing for Skype, those types of things, then we need to do that. It's the same with the council meetings. There's an inability for people who aren't actually in the room to participate, but they'd really love to participate, and they should be given the opportunity to participate. So, there are a lot of things that we need to address, and I think over the last few weeks, just talking to the different programs, we've identified a number of areas that need immediate attention, and it's going to take And that's going to take some time, but this is the start of that process, really. Engaging the tribal membership, providing a forum like this where we can understand, you know, the issues that we do need to confront and address. So we appreciate those comments. And then the traffic stuff, it gets into, you know, you talk about downtown. I think everybody's recognized that downtown, there are a number of issues with downtown and what's happening downtown. You know, what are some of the things we can do today? Not a whole heck of a lot. If it's, you know, folks who are inebriated or, you know, causing trouble, well, you can arrest them and, you know, take them into the county. But that doesn't solve the problem either. So the short-term solution, you know, the long-term solution, that all is something that we need to, obviously downtown is a huge, huge topic. That's something that I've heard, and I think everybody else recognizes it as well. Something that we really need to address. And hopefully, after this, you know, like we talked about before, schedule a time when everybody can sit down and focus directly on downtown. And what do we want for downtown? Do we want something, I think we've talked about it before, do you want something that looks like Willow Creek? Do you want something that looks like Eureka? Do you want something that looks like something other than that? No? Obviously, I have an idea of things that I'd like to see, but that might not be what the entire membership is interested in. So, I don't know if anybody else has anything to add related to that. And if we don't, you know, I guess continuing on with the meeting, you know, we'd offer, if there are any questions, you know, that anybody might have related to any other issues, are there areas where we can offer some clarity on different things? We're here to answer or try to the best of our abilities answer any of those questions and provide information about things that we are doing or in the process of doing to address, whether it's tribal police, whether it's housing, you know, economic development, the fish and water issues. You know, we're here really to provide the membership with the opportunity to have a dialogue. You know, I think it's not necessarily new, but it's something that since I've been around hasn't really happened very often. So, yeah.
Wanda. I just wanted to know about from the previous council to now. Our tribal security, how is that ran? What do we do if we have to call a cop for something? Who do we call?
Yeah, what's the previous administration and the agreement with the county was that you call the county. Mm-hmm. Again, we have now, we're down to, I believe, one officer within the tribal police. So all calls are still being routed through the county.
Through the county, and, okay.
We're working to address that. You know, that's not ideal for the community, obviously. But yeah, that's what's happening
that's
at this point.
That's where we're at
yeah.
right now. Okay. And another thing I was going to say was that, you know, like this downtown issue and these other issues, we have so many that maybe you should appoint a committee, a small committee of people,
sure.
not a large committee, but a small one, to help you to see if there's a way you can resolve some of these problems, because some of these things can be done. They just need to be worked out, and it takes time, and I know you don't have all the time in the world, so if your committee could work on it and bring it back to you and say these are the ideas that we have, then maybe you guys could work together and figure out what you can do for the community.
Yeah, absolutely. I can offer a few things on the police. I don't, you know, it wasn't really a topic that was brought up this morning, but, you know, one thing that we have done is we passed a resolution recently to ask the Bureau of Indian Affairs to come in and do an assessment of our program to provide us with options of things that we need to do, identify the deficiencies, and ways that we can address them. So that will be coming soon. We've also sent a letter to the Bureau of Indian Affairs requesting additional officers come in, be detailed out here, where there's 2 or 3 week rotations from other areas around the United States, so that's in the process. We were able to meet with the county sheriff within the first week that I was in office, and he was willing to extend our deputization agreement by 90 days, which was something that we were grateful for. We're expecting a new modified MOU
to come forward from the sheriff that that addresses the issues that he has with the tribal police program. We have yet to receive the modified MOU, but we're hopeful we can actually continue with an MOU with the county. Would allow for our officers to continue to enforce state law. You know, so you don't have to say, well, I'm going to call the county for services, and then they're going to call our officers, and you call directly to your tribal police program. I think that's something that I had heard in the lead up to the elections and the meetings that I was having with folks, was that that was a big concern. People would prefer to have tribal officers in town. Not always, but a lot of the comments were that's what we'd prefer, was tribal officers. So we're expecting to have those follow-up discussions. The sheriff has indicated he wants to come out and speak to the council. The expectation was that it would be a few weeks after the election. He also indicated that sitting down and working on a new agreement or trying to address the issues that he identified wouldn't really be productive with the previous council, just because there was a potential for, you know, essentially a brand new council being here. So we're hopeful in having, you know, positive interactions with this sheriff. Another thing that we have done is we've hired 5 new recruits who are all in the police academy now. They'll be there through the next 6 months. So that's another positive. They're all either tribal members or affiliated with a tribal member in one way or another. And we're looking into the future also if there's some grants that we've applied for that would allow for the hiring of 2 additional new officers, new recruits who would be tribal members. I think there's actually a 6th tribal member who's out there at the academy who's actually being paid for, I believe, through education or one of the other programs, and that's Serene White. She's also there. So, no, those are positive things that we're working on. Another thing that we are continuously working on is also a deputization agreement through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Special Law Enforcement Commission Agreement, which would give tribal officers the ability to enforce certain federal laws, which is sort of it's not ideal. You'd prefer to have the state agreement, the county deputization agreement, but it's secondary to that. If there are officers who may not be deputized, we can get them deputized through the federal agreement. So there are a number of things that we are working on trying to address, you know, what we see as an obvious need. It's an immediate need. I think people have expressed to the council, expressed to the previous council, the need for additional law enforcement services here. And, you know, I think Thomas had brought up the vandalism that we've seen over the last few days. We had a discussion, the whole council wasn't there, but in the afternoon we had talked about, okay, you know, we have to do something. We have to provide some relief for what's happening. What we are hoping to do is take some additional dollars that we have within the police program and hire some security, not necessarily security guards, but tribal security officers who can allow for an additional presence in and around the times when actual police officers aren't available, you know, to patrol the buildings, to go around in the community, to just be more eyes and ears out there, and so that people can feel more secure. And then also, you know, we shouldn't have the vandalism. I mean, gee whiz, you know, you're breaking the tribal windows and spray painting all of these different buildings. That's just unacceptable. And if we don't do something about that, if we don't say, okay, we're at least going to take steps to bring additional people, additional resources into the valley to address those issues, then it will just continue, and it will continue as we've seen it. And people talk about the crime, people talk about the robberies and all these different things. At a certain point, it has to come to an end. So, you know, these are some of the steps that we're taking, and hopefully, you know, in the short term, we can get our police force back up to 8 to 10 officers that can be full time, as well as the potential for additional security officers.
Looks like you need like people to protect the buildings and stuff. Basically, is what you need right now. That's what it looks like around the community, the way everything is going. So that might be something to really look at. Even if you don't hire a regular cop, you could have security.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. Shane was mentioning the cross-stabilization agreement has been extended through October 1st, so that's positive. I guess it's the same thing, though, when we've talked about all these other issues is, you know, what do we see as the future of the tribal police program? What do we see as the future of, you know, as it relates to the tribal court? I mean, you know, it's been a long time since we've actually sat down and talked about, you know, planning just in general and as a community. We've asked for, we've requested that the federal government once again assert concurrent federal jurisdiction on the reservation, which would allow for additional federal resources to come into the valley. Well, that started a process amongst the council of sitting down and again asking that question. What do we envision as a long-term goal or vision or priority for our tribal police and tribal court program? You know, we have the opportunity to potentially develop a jail. You know, is that something that people want to do? I mean, these are just questions that we have that we hope to answer here in the short term. Because I think there are a number of opportunities out there for the tribe in all of these different areas, through the Department of Justice, through all of the different federal agencies that are willing to step up and say, yeah, this is something that we'd be willing to support. You know, we've always been really proactive and aggressive in addressing these types of things. So that's kind of what we're here for today, is to gather some input, but also in the future, like we've talked about, have meetings and discussions about these specific issues and provide to the membership options that are out there, information related to the things that can be done, things that, you know, we'd hope to have done by now, you know, going back 20 years. So, again, I don't know if there are any other questions related to that. I don't want to be up here speaking all day. Yeah.
Is it possible for each council person to speak about what they envision of what they want to work on to see go forward for the tribe?
Let me do a quick vote.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody start on either end.
Do you mind if I go and give you a little time to think about it?
Sure.
Take 2 hours.
My daughter wanted to come. My other girl's at her grams, but we sit there. You know, we walk the creeks all the time, check on the babies, and she gets emotional about it. The other one says, you know, I'm pissed off, you know, but not her. Excuse me. But I just wanted to thank you for the work that you've done, Ryan, and for caring about those things and caring about the future and actually reading it and following it. I've never heard you say or worry about what another tribe is doing, or, you know, you've just always put our tribe first, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the commitment that you've showed our people. I appreciate that. And another thing was just about the creeks cleanup, and I had posted some stuff where they were parting out cars and they were parked in the creeks. And this is new, they weren't there last year, but they're starting to throw diapers in the back of the cars where they're swimming and stuff. So they're using them for trash cans. There's a big transmission that's leaking fluid, you know, and there's a lot of fries, pars, and, you know, different size fish there in Mill Creek. And we had kind of thought about working with the fine restitution program or possibly a cleanup with some people that I don't know who could man it, if it would be forestry or, you know, to supervise those people, like how you see them get in a van, and maybe if the downtown people wanted to get some money for the day. You know, they're always open to helping. They're always, you know, when somebody needs help, they jump around and they always help people. So maybe that's an idea to run something to do cleanup with the garbage. There's a lot of garbage below the shopping center being just dumped there, gathered against the mountain. I don't know who's starting to dump their trash there, but like bags. What is another thing? Oh, when I signed up for HSU, there's a thing on sexual harassment and rape, and you have to watch it and go through it and answer questions. So maybe look at that, and that's an idea you could do for employees. You have to watch it because it tells you how many questions. You have to go back and watch it if you didn't get all the questions right. Maybe that's another thing you could do. I also had a comment about like all the committees and the trainings that people go to. I don't think that adding another level of bureaucracy on top of things with committees all the time, I don't think it's productive. It's talking things to death. We should be able to trust the people that we've elected, you know, to oversee things or to, I don't know. That's shady to me. And the pictures, you know, the selfies we see all the time for the managers at trainings, and we don't see those things at work in our community, and that's upsetting. We, you know, we've had a series of things with our children being violated, and at no time has any of that been to work in our community with our kids. We're not addressing the people, the kids that are falling through the cracks and in foster care and stuff, like equipping them with skills to say, you know, that they have a right not to be touched. And we're not doing that. And it was sad to me because we're all about the conferences and we're all about, but when something big like that happened, we dropped the ball, you know, with our kids, and it's sad. I volunteer a lot with 4-H Girl Scouts and at the language program. I really love the language program and how that's going. And I think that she has a way of relating and bringing in those kids that are falling through the cracks. I think Ginger's doing a wonderful job. They had some language camps these past weeks. 2 weeks ago, it started with the kindergarten and first grade. And my little girl said, "We're like people learning their language in the desert." It was so hot in that little building. And those are things we need to invest in and we need to look at, and what we need to take care of the people that are, you know, doing good things in our community with our kids. And that is a good program. And that building is just like, you know, and there's no water, there's no little pool, there's nothing there, it's just dry. And they have a lot of things coming up this summer. I also wanted to talk about the marijuana grows. This is going on the third year that we have not had any marijuana bust or anything come out of the creeks. We need these creeks to cool our river. We need them to, that's something within our control, and we're not doing nothing about it. And it's upsetting. It's upsetting to see that we had a record number of returns in Tishtang. It was beautiful. I mean, there was like just migrating salmon everywhere, and there's not one baby fish in there. It's totally choked out with moss. And that's not what, you know, our covenant, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be taking care of the things that we were blessed with, and we're not. You know, Tishtang Falls is up there, and it's just a place, it's just things that we need to be doing as people. And I just hope, I know that you care about those things, and those are just things that are on my heart that I see being, you know, around the kids and just in our area. Mill Creek looks good. You know, there's a lot of fish in there. There's, you know, some big fish like that in there. We need to get that 4Runner and those car parts out of that creek. Somehow, soon.
Yeah, I saw the pictures that were.
Yeah.
That she had. I didn't realize that it was really, you know, that bad, or that it was to that extent that people were,
Let me show you how to take care of that baby. Poor babe.
But no, that's, we'll have to address that one way or the other. I mean, if that's through our EPA program or, some other resource that we have, we can't just let that type of thing continue. You know, and because if it does, and the whole thing with the moss, you know, we've talked about that for a number of years.
And what are the things that we could do to address that? Why is that continuing? Because it doesn't seem like the further you go up on the Trinity River even, you don't see the moss. So it's really, you know, coming down and inundating us. We're trying to understand what that is all about. And the diversions, you know, that's happening. There's no doubt about that.
From the South Fork up last year, it was pretty clean.
Right.
And the fish are not returning to that river. You know, we have a lot of displaced fish. And people are finding fish right there below where the sweat hogs fished. And, you know, the Klamath and Trinity fish are clipped on opposite sides. And they were picking them up. And my girl found some, and I seen different kids on the river finding them. So there has to be a creek that far up Klamath where they were supposed to be going to you know, to spawn. But they were flopping on that beach, putting their eggs right there, and it was just... they're lost in the system. And the same thing is happening with the South Fork fish. There's a guy at Hay Fork that does a lot of work on it. Maybe we can make a connection with him. He's concerned about it, what's going on up there. That's kind of it. I would like to see some movement on the marijuana removal, though. We need it. We need that water. We need clean water. And we're just hurting ourselves. There's nothing in there. It's just the oxygen is just choked out. And like my girl said, that's, you know, she's 9. That's their fish when she's 14 to 15 years old. We're just hurting our own community by not protecting our resources. And I would just like to see, you know, I think we've done a good job about things, and regardless who it is, or even if you don't punish anybody, just at least pull it out, because I don't think we can take another 2 months of those water diversions from those creeks. They said last week up Mitchell Road there was 10,000 plants taken from up there from Windsongs, and that creek, the water came back. It would be good. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bradley?
So, Vivina, one thing that you had done earlier in the week was posted the pictures of the creeks with the vehicles in it, and I was tagged on it. I did respond to your post on that saying that I would be checking with Kenny, I think it was the next day I had sit on there, or something along that line. It was the next day. The next morning, I stopped by Kenny's office to start addressing those issues because, as you know, my background with EPA, it's been tugging on my heartstrings for a long time. Before I was on council, I was also out in the streams taking pictures and posting them and making my noise about it, which I will continue to do. Through the conversations with Kenny on that day, I don't know if Kenny is still here. It'd be nice if he is. But through those conversations on that day, what I was chatting with him about doing, trying to pull together, was a community cleanup day and asking if there was funding available through his program. He said that there was funding available for dumpsters and that he was amenable to trying to pull together with us a community cleanup. It's up to me at this point to start dialogue with AmeriCorps for additional help. And he had some questions on how that would work together because there were some issues that they had confronted, something about working on weekends, or there was just some odd little thing that he had encountered before, which wasn't sounding insurpassable. But the fact remained that he does have funding for some dumpsters, and he was looking at doing either one weekend or a couple weekends. I was asking him to work with fisheries and others to start identifying which ones were at the top priority for us to start putting out for community cleanup. I do believe that the creeks are property of the community. We all have to take a vested interest in keeping those clean and promoting the continuation of non-dumping in those areas. And if we continue just to have other people go out and clean it, we're not promoting it within our own community to take ownership and clean it. So just to follow up on that, I have followed up with Kenny. I will be following up this week with AmeriCorps, and then hopefully Kenny can schedule the days, and together y'all be able to come up with what streams will be at top priority, and I was thinking, and what I told him is a community cleanup. So put it in the papers for us all to come together, and I'm happy to volunteer my weekends to do this. I've done it in the past, so it's something that you did get a response through that posting. Well, in the images, you could see some of the spillage taking place within the stream. I did blow up as far as I could, but you know, that's not the only stream that we have issues with. And then there are other issues that have been brought to our attention over the course of time. And since I've been here for the past year, there was an issue that was brought to my attention that I had no idea of, which was dumping of sewage up in the hills. And I'm hoping that with Julie, and Julie's here, maybe she can address some of that. But I'm hoping that we can find a way to resolve that, because at some point it all does flow downhill. And so what we put up in the hills will come down.
And as far as, thanks for that, Brad. The illegal growth and those types of things, the tribe has a tremendous amount of resources at our disposal. You know, they may not be tribal resources, that would be a part of it, but me specifically, you know, I have state resources that can be called upon to address that situation. So it's not something that I would take lightly. I see the impacts of what's happening out there, you know, if it's the creeks or if it's the wildlife or just the environmental degradation in general. You know, so we're working on addressing the issue. So just so that you know, yeah, I'm aware of it. I think the council has been aware of it. You know, everybody's been aware of it for however many years. So yeah, I have the resources necessary to address it. Sure, yeah. If folks want to take an opportunity to say a few words about some of the things that we would like to focus on and goals, that's more than welcome.
Okay, well, I've got several issues that I really, really want to work on, and most of them have been talked about today with working on tribal police issues, fixing our policies and procedures. Dealing with especially the downtown area, because that's a big issue according to everyone here, and the seriousness of the water issues, future of our education of our kids, that's really, really, you know, that's one thing I work on hard. You know, I just wanted to work. I want our kids to be educated and go someplace. And we have another issue about nepotism. People complaining about not being able to get jobs because of families coming in, and so many families are in a certain area. So, you know, I want to get that straightened out and be fair to everyone. And talking about homes, we have a big issue with housing. We don't know quite where we're at right now, but, you know, I would like to get that straightened out. People are talking about rent as opposed to buying a home. They're, you know, it's just not settled. And taking care of our elders is another really, really important issue. And another one is garbage to clean up, especially like home, I mean, places that have been burned are just left out there for us not to clean up. And then people complaining that they have to drive by it every day, look at this ugly spot that's been burnt and left unattended for a year, year and a half, like that. And another one is, you know, just stop the drugs. It's tearing up our families. It just doesn't affect me or, you know, it just affects every family here. And just, we really need your help to help us accomplish this. We can't do it by ourselves. We need your help too. Thank you.
I would I don't want to interrupt you, Brad, but on the agenda, as far as when the hearing is closed, there will be an opportunity for council members to make some statements and provide some remarks. So if you feel compelled to continue on now, if it's certainly welcome to do that. But there will be an opportunity at the end of the meeting for council members to provide additional remarks. Okay, yeah. Appreciate that. Go ahead, John.
John Robbins, Jr., Hoopa Valley Tribal Member. So by listening to the morning session and listening to the dialogue here, I think that some of the things that need to really be looked at is you guys are looking at priorities. I don't know where you guys are really going with that today's dialogue for the afternoon, but I'd like to give a good example. If you guys don't mind, I'd like to share with the group here that, you know, as I announced earlier, I serve as the chairman of the Housing Authority Board of Commissioners. And we were fortunate enough to meet with the new council here right out of the gate. And it was a very productive meeting. It was informal. I brought information to the council. And what I'd like to see from other entities and programs is them being given that opportunity to come forward to meet with the council and give their suggestions. We need to stop blocking out managers, enterprises and stuff, and then not having the input from them. And when they do give that input, it should be shared with the membership. And so that kind of drives me into the lack of communication. We sit here today and we talk about different areas of modern technology. Well, here we sit. This is the best forum that I have seen set up in the years that I've been here, and we could do better. You talk about all the modern technology of getting the outside tribal members tied in, et cetera. But with the example of that I wanted to give is which Mr. Risling raised, is the cooperation. We need, it points back to what I said earlier, we need to work together, and those programs that are required to work together to better things, they need to work together. The protection of your own little domains and your protection of job entitlement, we need to change that stance. We need to start, I'm coming over the hump to where we need to train our people to do what you guys are doing and bring them along so that when it's time for us to sit out and retire, it's being handed over. We need to look to the future. And the cooperation is such a huge area because you also address Vivina and Mike. As a tribal member, I commend them 100% of what he has done for our tribe and natural resources and fisheries and protecting our water. Without that man, we wouldn't be in some of the places, but he also had the support of previous governments. And that's the part that we have to start letting go. We all can't do it. I used to feel the same way. The reason why I wanted to give a piece of example advice, maybe 50 years later, I did take my mother's advice. She said, focus on something that you feel that you can make a change in. Don't filter yourself out so much that you can't. So those of you who know me knows that I will look at any financial. I'll understand it, and I'll try to explain it to the people that will ask me to make them understand it. And I chose to focus on housing. I'm not going to bash any past administration or anything. It's just that things needed to change to better the program. There were some questions raised in regards to losing the office. That was detrimental. And what people, our tribal members, need to understand, what Mr. Norton pointed out earlier, these are federal monies that are building us buildings, and they are considered federal buildings. So I totally support the area of asking BIA for assistance, because that's their responsibility. That's their trust responsibility to assist us in protecting what is ours. So with that, the dialogue is really good, and we just need to remember to focus on coming together. And let's fix the 68 ordinances that we have. Let's not create all this new additional stuff. We need to fix and put the language in there to make those things work for our people. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
You had mentioned the housing meeting with the board. That was productive. And, you know, I was talking to a couple of the council members during the break, and no, that wasn't an issue that we had heard as a priority from the group, or that wasn't something that was brought up as often as of some of the other issues. There was one gentleman, disabled veteran, who had talked about the housing, and specifically as the HIP program. I know a lot about the issue, but I think that's because probably most folks in here have a home and somewhere to go and somewhere to live. But a lot of folks in the valley, on the reservation, they don't have adequate housing. And you know, the board coming in and addressing those issues and wanting to sit down and work with the council on ways that we can be creative and use the resources that we have to provide home ownership, or to also bring in, if it's the credit program, if it's the land department, you know, really being, you said it, you know, cooperation amongst programs to be able to provide the services to everybody who needs it. Obviously, that is a huge need. And I'm hopeful about, you know, moving forward with the council, the board, and the housing department on addressing the unmet need, something that I think has been an issue for a long time. Certainly has been an issue since I've been here. But, I agree. That was a good meeting that we had.
Wanda Benedict. One of the things I've been thinking about too is we have so much garbage within the community everywhere. It's just laying in homes, front of the house, the back of the house, wherever. And I think the tribe needs to figure out a way that we can make everybody have garbage pickup, because if we continue to have these little things where they do it once a year, everybody stacks their garbage up for that once a year thing, and that's not good. We have rats and other things, and it's just not good. So we just need to start thinking, maybe get towards getting a truck or bringing down the place from Willow Creek to have them have garbage pickup for everybody. I think the housing authority should be able to figure that out, or the water department should be able to figure it out and figure out a way that they can have everybody assign days or whatever where their garbage pickup is made. And they need to pay it just like everybody else, because we have to pay to take the garbage to the dump if we have extra garbage, and plus there's people every month. So everybody needs to do it, and I think then they'll stop stacking the garbage all over the place.
Yeah, we have folks who come in and often ask about, is there going to be another cleanup day? It's costly. You know, we've had a number of grants. We've been lucky to actually get some grants to pay for that. But yeah, you're right. And a lot of folks aren't in a position to be able to afford, you know, to go to the dump as often as others. Yet you still, you know, collect garbage, obviously. Sure, yeah, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. I agree. It is quite reasonable. Seems like we're in an elevator.
Five minutes.
You can have 10.
This is it. I'm going to address the law enforcement issue. I have to be very careful here because I don't want this to sound like this is the end all. I think you asked about a jail, and we've been talking about that one for quite a few years.
Sure.
One of the things that I understood about the jail is a tool that is used and should be used here because most of our law enforcement arrests end up having to be taken over to Eureka. And we always heard all the time that that takes an officer, at least one officer, out of the patrol to go to town, which is, I'm going to assume, a four-hour or over trip. Then they take them to town and return and have the booking taking place. Sometimes we have people who are a little inebriated or more than they can handle, who end up being in the drunk tank over in Eureka, and then they're turned out over there, turned out in the wee hours of the morning. We've had those kinds of reports. Now, I can see a jail being used to circumvent that trip over the hill here in the valley. I don't want to see a jail just a lock-up place for our tribal members, but as a tool to keep a patrol here. Some of our people need that 4 hours. I'm not saying that that's the way to deal with it, but it is maybe in a short term that needs to be looked at more seriously. I don't have an answer for it, but I know that it can be used in that manner. But then that costs us expense, a lot of expense to put that kind of a facility in. The other thing is that I was a resource officer here, so-called resource officer, patrolling most of the back, the roads. We have 500 miles of roads in the reservation. As I've said before, I don't know what has happened to that department. When we had money for it, we had a resource officer, two, maybe three. Those money's dried up. I don't know what happened. They dried up. We spent the money somewhere else, possibly. You hear that we do need that law enforcement in that area. There is the dumping that has gone on. There is the other, the trash problem. We passed the law ordinance on an animal ordinance, which is the dog control. I don't know that that's being addressed at this point. I think that our dog issue is still the same. We had the spay and neuter clinics come in. I don't know what has happened with those issues. Those were helpful. I don't know what's happening there now. The burning of trash, that still is a problem. You know, you can smell it in the evenings when wind is blowing downstream or upriver, I guess is what it's called. And that doesn't get addressed. I think it's detrimental to us health-wise, but people still do it. It doesn't get taken care of. And that all comes under law enforcement all the way around. I do think we need tribal police, a tribal police department for this tribe. We deserve it. We can handle it better than Humboldt County. I think that we can get enough officers in here. I know the pay has always been a issue, but if it's not and it's a high priority for us, I believe that it can be done. So we need. I think that resource officers was an important job. Patrolling, one resource officer patrolling 500 miles of road isn't enough. You can only cover about 100 miles a day, so if you're going to cover a reservation, that's at least five people. It's a good department. Of course, where does the funds come from? So those are the big issues that you're confronted with. Do you? or do you not do it? Or is the money's there? I think the monies are there, that we do have to be lobbying for it, the Department of Justice, however, whatever our priorities are. That's a high priority of law enforcement here on this reservation, from one end to the other. So that's kind of what I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for this. Okay.
The record, state your name for the record.
Joseph Lemieux, I'm sorry.
Thank you. And anyone else, before you make a statement or a comment, including council members, state your name. We're on the radio just so people can know who you are. Yeah, as far as a couple of the issues, you talked about animal control ordinance. Today, we don't have anywhere to take a dog that we pick up. The only option is to either have it ride around with this mill all day in the back of his vehicle, or take him up the hill and, dispatch him. Those aren't good options. And so enforcement, we talked about that a lot, about a number of things, whether it's whatever the ordinance is, it really comes down to enforcement of the law. And that's one area that we're sort of lacking. You talked about the resource officers. Every year there's money that comes from the federal government for parks. I think it's parks and wildlife and parks or something to that effect. And it gets split between, normally the tribal fisheries program gets a portion of it, and then the other portion of it goes to the tribal police program. And initially, my understanding is that the funds were made available for fisheries police, if you will, fish cops, back some time ago. What happens now is the money gets sent into the tribal police program, but because there's so much need for tribal police officers to enforce state law violations, the money is utilized for that. And that becomes a higher priority than a resource officer. That doesn't mean that we can't make additional dollars available. We have programs like the forestry program, for instance, that has a tremendous amount of money and resources at its disposal. Is that an area where we want to look for additional funds to provide some level of natural resource protection? I would like to. I think that's something that is important. It's something that we hear about a lot of time. Illegal hunting, illegal wood cutting. We've funded the EPA program, I think it was a couple of years ago, for a enforcement officer for some of the environmental stuff, the trash burns and the illegal dumping and the solid waste violations. But again, once, as you go through a budget process, you see where those dollars aren't coming from a federal source a lot of times. The money that was made available through the EPA program, that was tribal discretionary money. So you see, if it costs you $60,000, $80,000, whatever the cost is that a priority for this year? Well, it wasn't this year. It wasn't a priority to have an enforcement officer in the EPA program. The money was going to be sent into the tribal police program to allow for them to enforce those types of infractions or tribal code violations. And again, it just, those types of things, they don't have a lot of time for. If you don't have the officers or the resources to do those types of things, then it just doesn't happen. But the money is available. It's just a matter of saying, okay, are we going to have 8 police officers that enforce state law violations? Are we going to have 6 and 2 for resource and then have some fisheries enforcement? That's a decision that we have to make here. And it's, they're all priorities, obviously. Law enforcement and resource protection is a priority. It's just a matter of where does it rank on the priority list? Because at a certain point, you can't pay for everything. And I think we realize that. But we are working on, you talk about additional funding as well. One thing that's happened recently is when we signed the MOU with the California Highway Patrol, the state attorney general said that the Highway Patrol, they don't have jurisdiction on Indian reservations. It goes back to the Cabazon case that was, I think it was, the order was filed in like 1987, sometime, quite a while ago. Well, it's come now to the point where the CHP says, well, we don't have jurisdiction to go out there and enforce infractions or any of these other vehicle code violations.
And so then you say, well, wait a minute. You guys, through the Department of Transportation, receive a tremendous amount of money for the enforcement of, you know, California criminal code, especially vehicle violations, for all the highways. If you have money that's made available and, you know, highways run through the Indian Reservation, then a portion of that money is being used outside of providing law enforcement services for the tribe. And if that is, in fact, the case, then we need to go and either talk to the state or the Department of Transportation and say, hey, no, we need that money. No, you can't just continue to have the money, you know, allocated down to the state and yet not provide the enforcement responsibility like is supposed to happen. So we are working to address that. We have some new positions within the tribe that are going to focus on those types of things within the Office of Self-Governance, is to identify those additional funding sources, whether it's through the Department of Transportation, whether it's through the Department of Homeland Security, whether it's through Department of Defense or Department of Justice, any other federal agency that can provide, you know, additional funds. We were down just the other day, we was down there with Mike and Danny at the Bureau of Reclamation. And we're outside and we're talking after the meeting, and I look over and, you know, there's a police vehicle there, a law enforcement vehicle there, and it's for refuge, you know, a refuge cop, if you will. You say, well, there has to be money there within some other federal parks program or, you know, within the Department of Interior for law enforcement services. Now, whether we qualify for a refuge money, I don't know if we do, but we certainly have, you know, wildlife needs, fish and wildlife needs. So there's money out there. It's just a matter of committing to going out and doing the research necessary and putting the work in to secure some of it. So I'm focused on that. I know law enforcement is a big issue that we've talked about for a long time. So that's just some backup information. And then the jail. Okay, I guess the issue of the jail is it a holding facility for, you know, for a few days? Is it a long-term facility? You know, you have a lot of folks who end up in the jail system that, you know, jail ultimately was for rehabilitation of an individual. But it seems to have the opposite effect where folks end up in the jail system and, you know, things don't necessarily go in the way that what I think was originally intended to go. And so they, you know, get out of jail, come back, and things have actually worsened for them. Is that, you know, the far scope of it, you know, a long-term facility that can offer, you know, rehabilitation, if you will? You know, I don't know. I mean, the point that you raise about, you know, is it easier to hold somebody here for, you know, 6 hours in a holding cell in order for them to, you know, sober up, if that's what it is, in order for allow our officers to continue to do the other work that's necessary? You know, probably in the short term that would be the goal of it, but the long term, is the long term a more permanent holding facility? You know, again, I don't know. The Bureau of Prisons is out there. They supply a lot of money through the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Now, the Bureau of Indian Affairs has an extensive prison system, if you will. Not, you know, prisons aren't something that you really want to aspire to, but at the same time, you want to be able to make sure that individuals, this is my own personal feeling, individuals who find themselves in that situation, you want to provide you know, a means for them to be able to better their lives if the crimes that they've committed aren't necessarily, you know, really heinous, if you will. A lot of, you know, drug violations, those type of things. You know, you want to be able to provide individuals, this is again my own opinion, with an opportunity to come back into society and function as a valuable member of the community. So again, there are resources available through, you know, those federal programs, but you know, those are just some of the things that you raised and some of the things that we need to talk about is, you know, is it the Bureau of Prisons or is it just the holdover cell? It's kind of up to us, you know, it's self-governance, it's the tribal sovereignty. Do you want to work on establishing a criminal code? You know, we have a civil code now through the tribal court system. You know, do you want to get into the criminal stuff? Tribal Law and Order Act allows for the federal reassumption of jurisdiction over Indian reservations. You know, that presents opportunity if you see it as opportunity.
I'm not sure. It's all out there. It's just a matter of going after it.
My name is Bonnie Roberts, a Hoopa tribal member. There's a big void down in the into the town of Hoopa. It's a hangout for all the guys to visit. But we need to rebuild it, not only with roads, sidewalks, trees, but we need to be thinking about getting federal funds, perhaps, for a cultural center with a museum, with a little village that's built, so that the tourists can come through and say, wow, we can have classes through the cultural center. You can have all kinds of things, dressmaking, all this involved in the center of town, because there's nothing in the center of town but old cars, trees, garbage, people hanging around. But we need to rebuild, and we need not only maybe a cultural center, not maybe a little village, maybe a little a brand new service station that is very attractive, or move it, but we need to change the whole. Get rid of those old cars. You just drive to town, you see all the junk cars, you see all the transient or the home folk that live there that come every day to visit. And so we need to really change the whole, be thinking about changing the whole Hoopa town site. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sure. To address the cultural center, you know, that has been a topic of discussion for a number of years. This year we are applying for a block grant. I don't know the acronym of it, but anyways, it's a HUD block grant. And the goal is a cultural center. The goal is a cultural community center along those lines. No, we haven't really given the go-ahead on, you know, going after that in particular. But that's sort of where we're leaning to. And a lot of the discussion is, okay, what is going to actually be in the cultural center? Is it going to have the museum? Are there going to be just, you know, things that you've talked about where you have classes and do those types of things? You also have a need for some place to hold the different events in the community. You know, that's an obvious need. So we are moving towards that. There will be a block grant that is applied for. And that seems like the most likely option is to have some sort of cultural / community center. I think that's one area where we would score rather high. Again, it's, you know, what do folks want to have as far as a cultural center? That's a discussion I think needs to take place in more detail. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Katja Risling-Baldy. I wanted to say that I'm a grant writer myself, so I know that writing grants is very important, and it is important that we go after funding that's available through the federal government and other sources. But I'm wondering if the council could also find a way to focus planners on an economic plan that doesn't sort of rely on grants from the government to run programs or to put things together, to maybe think about where we can start investing money to make money for the tribe, and then we would have more funds to use for things that wouldn't require us necessarily to meet sort of the really sometimes things that don't fit for our community that come with federal grants, and would allow us to kind of lead the way in building things. And I don't see a lot of focus a lot sometimes on building that economy, but rather to sort of say, we'll look for a grant for that instead of how can we build the economy in Hoopa. And I also would put a plug in for, I know that we want to invest a lot of our money on the reservation, but we do have a lot of off-reservation tribal members who could also use the support of the tribe to invest in the things that they are doing off-reservation to sort of be off-reservation, and then that also helps us to make money as a tribe investing in the things that they want to do. And I think us being a multi-million-dollar corporation, we could lead the way as a tribe in sort of investing in helping to build businesses that are tribally owned businesses that aren't necessarily on reservation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey. So for people
people who don't know, I was recently hired as a tribal planner, grant writer. One of the main goals, Joe Davis for the record, one of the main goals of our department right now is getting done a comprehensive economic development strategy, acronym known as SEDS. There was a $50,000 grant accepted by the tribe, and it's going to be used to, it has been used to hire a consultant, Megan Rocha. She's pretty experienced. I think she has a lot of integrity. I believe in her, and we're going to be working with her. And there is, you know, an EDA model for what a SED should look like, and we want to be aligned with that so that we can be eligible for their funding. But part of that is trying to get away from being so grant reliant. So with that, you know, we really want to make sure that we provide resources for the private sector, for people who want to start their own business. And you know, that will involve education for them, how to build up their credit, how to become more eligible for loans, how to get a business plan, the model. And so in a SEDS, you want to identify what your goals are, what your objectives are to get those goals accomplished. You know, what's going to be the different roles of different people in getting those done? What's our timeline going to be? You know, a month from now, where are we going to be? A year from now, where should we be? And how are we going to evaluate our progress on that as we go forward? There was a SEDS committee established. There has been some goals identified. I think there will be more hearings. Ryan had directed me to take notes in this meeting so that we can incorporate these ideas into the SEDS, but there will be more time for input, like he says, specific meetings for those things, and that are focused on those specific goals. And a big part of the SEDS is you got to have the community's buy-in, so that if everybody here is a part of that plan, everybody here knows what the plan is and their input is there, then there's going to be more buy-in in making sure that we stick to that plan and accomplish it. So I would encourage everybody to be involved with this SETS process. There's going to be more time for ideas. Some of the ones that have come forth already is like Machine, we talked about a shopping center downtown, a place where individuals can have, you know, everything from an auto mechanics place to restaurants, haircutting, art centers, different businesses that we need here so that we can keep our money in Hoopaw, keep the money in our local economy rather than sending it all to the coast. You know, there's a lot of ideas, good ideas that have been out there. Again, you know, we want to collect more, and the next step will be figuring out how do we implement the strategy. So we've got education is on board. They're going to be helping with educate. You know, we want to work with the schools and making sure that our young kids are more interested in business so that when they come out, they're more business savvy. They know how to build up their credit, get a loan. You know, let's work with our economic development fund and make sure that they are getting the loans to these individuals. If people aren't eligible for loans, maybe we should adjust the criteria, you know, helps us get the loans, you know. I mean, maybe the standards should be lowered a little bit, I don't know. So I would just encourage everyone to be involved with this SEDS. You know, we're committed to it. It's a big priority. The council is gonna be working with us on it. Ultimately, there will be a 30-day comment period. It's going to need to be approved by the council. And, you know, so if you guys ever have any questions, don't hesitate to ask, because everybody's going to be involved with it.
Thank you. Thanks, Joe.
Nope. Judy Serber, tribal member. So, since I get to talk to you guys more than most, I still would like this for the record to really urge the
speed of how you address the drug problem. I think every family in Hoopa is affected somehow with heroin, and I know that I have to deal with it every day and every minute of my life at my house. And even though it is like everybody you know, it's like the problem is this big, but the speed and how services are coming are way down here. And I don't know, I think that the problem's bigger than just what even one group of people could do. And I really would like to see like a task force, a community effort. I look into it all the time, racking my brain all the time, looking for different modes of treatment, looking for what works, something I'm researching all the time. And I think there's other people like me who have the passion and interest and want to see change here in terms of the drug problem, and I would always be willing to give all my time for that. And the other thing that people don't talk about in Hoopa is something called harm reduction, and I've looked a lot into that. And when we have this many people in the valley who are shooting up heroin, we don't even have a clean needle exchange here. And even if it's not a clean needle exchange in town, people can walk in the pharmacy and buy needles, no questions asked. And we don't have that here. And we also know that we have an epidemic population with hepatitis C. But it's almost criminal that we don't have some type of exchange program. The other thing in harm reduction is to have Narcan. And Narcan is something, if somebody's overdosing, that can save their lives in about 30 seconds. And if you've never seen anybody overdose, it's horrible. And they can shoot them up with Narcan, and in 30 seconds, they are setting up and coming back to life. And it used to be that you couldn't get it anywhere, but now in California, it is available. And people, I keep it at my house. If anybody in my area goes down, we know what to do. I think it's something tribal police should be carrying. I think it's something that should be in all the areas, because we have a lot of people with who are ill with addiction problems. My second concern is the, I know you guys, and I know personally that you have worked really hard on our police issue and getting response. And I just want to urge that to keep happening, because what happened to us in March, waiting an hour and 40 minutes for any type of help for people who have been shot in the head, it's unconscionable. Nobody should ever have to do that. I don't want anybody in this valley to go through that again. I was doing minutes 2 days before that happened the other day, March 19th, and Ms. Council Member Marshall was saying how a man was shot on his porch and waited 20 minutes for help, and how that wasn't acceptable. And I would have done anything for 20 minutes versus an hour and 40 minutes. So I know that you're working and trying to get us resources, but I'm worried about the meantime, because when you have to wait that long for people to drive from town, it's horrible. And I don't know what the answer is to that, but I just feel like we have to make that a priority and figure something out for how people can get better response. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Judy.
My name is Lois Risling. And I'm going to break rule number three, because I got three topics. So the first statement I want to make is the about the police. I think it's important that, it is very important that we enforce state law here when it's broken, and we need staff to do that and policemen to do that. But for self-governance, I think the council should consider that we need to enforce our tribal ordinances. That's how we pass those laws, tribal members pass those laws, council pass those laws, and those laws are designed to protect the self governing ability of the tribe and to protect our natural resources. So that needs to become a priority in the consideration in what you're doing. Because if we have people randomly picking every basket stick there is and taking it, that's not a good thing. Or if they're taking our trees or they're taking our water, you know, and loading that up. So we need to enforce that. And if we do an exemplary job at that, that will indicate to the state people and the federal people that we can do this if we're enforcing our own law. So I really encourage the council to consider that. The second thing is kind of a personal problem. I think the council should put together some kind of assignment or committee of a group of people to look into the skunk problem. I don't know about anybody else, but we have a mountain load of skunks down in our area, and my husband is single-handedly trying to make sure they go to the neighbor's house by blocking off every entrance underneath our house and everything. But it's a real issue. Feral cats, they're dying underneath the houses, they're just everywhere, and they produce very quickly. We need to have some kind of direction or way for the council to have a department come up with a plan, because when you go online or you ask the people who get rid of them, they say, oh, you have to trap them in a garbage can and then pick them up. And then my husband says to me, I'll trap them, your job is to pick them up. Well, I'm not going to do that. So the other thing is, we cut a fire line around our house, and the bear thinks that's a trail for him. And he just walks around our house day and night. He even walked around in the summertime and fine, but he's walking in the winter, and I put a sign at the window and said, you're supposed to be asleep. Go away. So we really need to have some help because those are safety issues. My grandkids are up. I don't want them sprayed. I don't want the bear chasing them around. So some kind of direction or help from the council on how to deal with that or assign to some kind of process. And then the last thing is, I wanted to support Marceline in her statement this morning and ask the council now, are you willing to put a vote on a ballot for an ethics commission? Because it will take a unanimous vote of all the council members to put it on the ballot for the people to vote for. This is not something that we're asking you to support or not support. We're asking you to put it on the ballot so the people can have an opportunity to have a say on whether or not they want such an entity. So I would be interested in knowing if you, as individual council members, because it will take all six, would be willing to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lois.
On the Ethics Commission, I can certainly do my part and make sure that it's put on an agenda to have it voted on by the Tribal Council. We've had something similar to this actually pass by the tribal members, was the grand jury, and the grand jury's never been seated. So when I actually first got on the council, we did a little bit of research on the grand jury, and I believe it was actually passed in the 80s, and then there was an effort in the early 90s when Chairman Risling was the chairman, and it never came to a vote. It was there was never a motion, there was never a second, and it was never voted on. The debate was actually a pretty interesting debate, if anyone is interested in what was actually being discussed and some of the issues that were being raised by the council members at the time. It was pretty interesting. So I think that's kind of along the same lines of an ethics commission. I think it's something that's needed. You know, if we're talking about transparency in government and being open to what it is that we're doing, it's important. You know, if you're not being held accountable, then that's a problem. That is a problem. I see that definitely as something that needs to be addressed. And it's one thing that I've heard a number of other council members have talked about is
you know, when there's even a comment earlier about the Constitution bylaws and the ordinances and not following them, yet taking actions that are in violation of those laws that have been passed, yet it's still being allowed to be carried out. And I think that was something that we saw more recently. And I think that's